Today, as we come to the table,
God wants us to learn to let go of the kingdoms of the earth, let go of the affections of the earth. Realize this is not our home. We have a home in heaven, not made with hands. We are temporary citizens here, but we have a citizenship in heaven that lasts forever. How many of you are feeling like our citizenship here is running out? I can tell you I am. It's like somehow I'm going, you know what? I don't really feel like I belong in this place that much. I remember saying, I was praying the other day, Lord, I don't feel like I belong here. And it's like God reminded me gently, you don't. Don't you understand? You're to live here and be a good citizen while you're here, and you're to do all this. You'll honor the governments, you'll do all these things, but I've made you a citizen of heaven.
Our God is a creator by nature. He's the creator. Destruction is not his preferred operation. But, as scripture makes clear, there are times when the only way to restore is to first destroy. Think about Babel. Men tried to build something that would bring themselves closer to God, and the only way to fix the problem they created was for God to destroy it and disperse the people. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Before things can all be made right, and this earth can be made new, things are going to get really bad. God doesn't take pleasure in this destruction, but in his wisdom, he knows that this is the path sin has taken us, and he has a plan for redemption. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Romans chapter 1 as he begins his message, God's Environmental Destruction Program.
I'm going to throw you a curveball. If you have your Bible with you, and you better, because we're chasing you down. We watch you by drone. Just kidding. The curveball is this. Open up to Romans chapter 1, and we will be going to Revelation chapter 8 shortly, but I feel there's some introduction needed, as with most of these chapters, and Romans chapter 1 is going to be introduction. Now, again, as we get into this passage today, obviously you've noticed the title is quite odd, God's Environmental Destruction Program. Now, that doesn't sound like a very encouraging title, but let me explain to you why I've titled this. As you know, we have what we call the Environmental Protection Program in America. And again, I think it's a good program. It's something to watch our environment and all this. But what we're going to look at today is again, as we get into this seventh seal that's open, is God's further judgment on the planet and removing everything that gets in the way of mankind looking toward God. And that is having other gods, other passions, other things between us and the Lord. And so we're going to see that even the environment comes into play according to God's word here in Romans, as well as we see prophetically some of the things that are going to be happening. See, God has a global agenda. Mankind has a global agenda. And because mankind is rejecting God's agenda, then they're beginning to worship other things and make other priorities rather than God being the priority. And God in his faithfulness is going to systematically remove everything that man worships except for himself. And for those of you that know the Lord, you're already worshiping God. God will begin to remove. Judgment begins at the house of God. And what that means is God's going to begin to remove everything out of your life that gets in the way. I'll give you just a classic example here. Depending on where you stand and what's going on as far as our nation, we do see our nation changing radically. And for a lot of us, it's hard to let go. We love our nation, and there's nothing wrong in that. But listen, there's something beautiful in that as well. Yes, you need to honor the Lord. You need to honor your nation. You need to, all these things are great things. Don't get me wrong. But as God gets closer to his return, God has a new kingdom for us. And God wants us to learn to let go of the kingdoms of the earth, let go of the affections of the earth. Realize this is not our home. We have a home in heaven, not made with hands. We are temporary citizens here, but we have a citizenship in heaven that lasts forever. How many of you are feeling like our citizenship here is running out? I can tell you I am. It's like somehow I'm going, you know what? I don't really feel like I belong in this place that much. I remember saying, I was praying the other day, Lord, I don't feel like I belong here. And it's like God reminded me gently, you don't. Don't you understand? You're to live here and be a good citizen while you're here, and you're to do all this. You'll honor the governments, you'll do all these things, but I've made you a citizen of heaven. You're my representative. You're a voice to the world. Don't grab too tightly. to what we have down here. Certainly we want to fight for what's good, and we want to, again, do everything we can to influence godliness and a nation that's godly and all those are all great things, and I'm with you 100%, but this is not your home. And so the sooner we learn to let go in a good way, then we're going to be more joy-filled and more excited about what's coming. See, one of the things, again, that I've been saying is be watching for the world to be more open to a global agenda. Be watching for the world to unite together more so than what, than the church would do or believers would do, because we know that our love and affection is to God. Their love and affection is to this world. This is all they have. Listen, part of the reason there's so much panic about COVID-19, I'm not taking away from the seriousness of it and being wise with it, but I see a panic worldwide. And why do we see a panic? This is all they've got. This is it. If they lose this, they lose everything. This is not all we've got. This is temporary, and we have eternity and new bodies and new kingdom and new glory that's never going to end. So we have hope, and we have a different focus than the world does. So we respond differently than the world responds. It's just amazing. But again, God here, as we get into the passage today, what we're going to see is that God is going to begin to deal with the gods of mankind. Now, again, this has been God's pattern throughout history. If you remember in the Exodus, after the book of Genesis, where God brings the children of Israel out of Egypt, God began to systematically destroy the gods of Egypt. You see, the 10 plagues that God sent on Egypt, they were gods. Each of those plagues represented a god. And so God began to judge each of those different gods. And why was God doing that? He was saying, stop looking to those gods and look to the God of heaven. It wasn't just to let the children of Israel go. It was to turn the eyes of the Egyptians toward the Lord. And by the way, many of them got saved because of that. Now, it's interesting. If you go back and look at who the gods were that were being judged there during that time, many of them, if not all of them, were connected to the environment or nature, because man by his nature, without God, we begin to worship the creature rather than the creator. We'll see that in just a moment here in Romans. It's a pattern of man. For some reason, we look toward other things, mankind, environment, some going so far as to worship the trees and the rocks and the sun and the moon and all these things. And the only way that God can get man's attention once man goes that direction is God has to systematically remove all of those things out of the way. And so God did it for the Egyptians and turned their eyes to him. And now we're going to see in Revelation chapter 8, God's going to do the same thing with those remaining on the earth. Now, the setting here for Revelation 8 is after the rapture of the church. So what we're going to be covering today, although some of it's pretty heavy when you look at God's judgment, you're not going to be here if you know the Lord. You're going to be in the kingdom. And so why is God doing this? To get the attention of those, even as he got in Egypt, stop looking to the planet. Stop looking to things other than me. Look to heaven. I will be your salvation. And so that's why I call this God's environmental destruction program, because what we're going to see God do, even as he destroyed the environment in Egypt, he's going to destroy the environment here on the world. Now, a lot of people say, well, we've got to do something. Mankind's destroying the planet. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says mankind will not destroy the planet. As a matter of fact, we see all the way up until the second coming, the earth is fine, which shows me mankind doesn't destroy it. But here's the real clincher. It will be destroyed, but it won't be man that does it. It'll be God. And why is God going to, why in the world would God destroy the environment? I just explained it to you. Because there are people today that are focusing so much on other things than the God of heaven, God has to remove them and judge them to turn mankind's eyes to him. And so that's why God, it's not that God hates the environment. It's not that God hates, you know, us being good stewards. And by the way, we need to be good stewards. I think oftentimes the church is unfairly and some pastors unfairly judged by saying, well, you don't care about this. And certainly we have to be good stewards with everything. You should be a good steward with all that God puts in your hands. But you don't put it before God, and you don't put it before mankind. See, the earth was created for mankind as a resource for mankind. Mankind was not created for the earth. But the problem is it's all being reversed now, and it's a spirit. It's the spirit of Antichrist being used to unify the world in a common cause. That is, we all come together to save the planet. We all come together for this. We need a global government. We all come together even in a global religion so we're not fighting and having all the terrorism. All these things make great sense when you just think about them individually. But when you realize what's going on spiritually, all the flags go up and say, wait a minute, we're being duped here. This is a trick. And so, again, the Bible says that God created the earth to show his glory, not to be worshiped by mankind. And instead of being used to, again, worship God, it's being used to deny God. And again, to make the focus about the things of the earth rather than the things of the world. And so the Lord is going to deal with it, and he's going to remove it out of the way so that mankind can come to him. Again, I've said this before, and I'll probably say it again before we're done. The judgments we see in the book of Revelation are a great act of mercy. Many people see them as, how could a God of love? And my thing is, how could a God of love not do that? Because mankind that's going to be left behind after the rapture is going to be so hardened in heart and so turned away from God, the only way to get their attention is radical. Maybe some of you were living a life that was not exactly glorifying to God, and something radical happened. Maybe it was a car wreck. Maybe it was a divorce. Maybe it was an illness. Maybe something happened, and suddenly you realize, I've had my focus in the wrong direction the whole time, and you turn toward God. That's what God's going to do to the earth. He said, guys, you're focusing on the wrong things. It's not about what's happening. It's not about your carbon footprint. It's about the footprint of God on your heart and in your life and the focus on him. And so, again, we're seeing a lot of things happen. And again, we're seeing America lead the way, because as America goes, the entire world goes. And I've been looking at what's happening in America, again, kind of showing you prophetically how I think it's going to affect where God is. And I think we can look to some degree, not just at the whole world, but even our nation, to see where we are in the prophetic picture, because we have such a huge influence in the world. And I think some of you have mistaken me into making it all about, you know, whatever party this is or party that or politics. Look, God is not a Republican and God is not a Democrat. God is the Savior of the world. Understand that. I'm not promoting any party. I'm not promoting any politics. And I'm certainly not saying that we should rise up in rebellion to the government, you know, this kind of thing. We need to come out of the governing authorities. The bottom line is, we do the best we can do to have a godly government and a godly nation within Christian means, and then we turn it over to the Lord. And that's what we're called to do. That should be the balance here. But what's interesting is, I do look at what's happening in the world politically, not because of politics, but because that's how the world plays out from the spirit realm. The spirit realm is where the real battle is. That's the world. That's what's going on, the spirit realm. But it's played out through the world of politics. And so it has to be addressed to some degree. Imagine this. It's like, as J. Vernon McGee used to say, driving the Bible bus down the road, right? If I'm driving that Bible bus down the road following God, and I come upon a big log that's blocking the road that happens to be a political issue, we've got to get out and deal with that log. We can't just ignore it. The new administration is much more globally minded. The new administration is much more environmentally friendly, which again appeals to the last day spirit that the Bible says will be on the earth. And we'll see more of that in just a moment. But it's a reason to rejoice, because it means we're that much closer. Look, I don't like the whole idea of, you know, thinking that, you know, the whole, honey, it's time, you know, and we got to go to the hospital and the baby's about to come. Nobody likes that moment. We've talked about that. But you can't wait to hear that beautiful little cry of that baby and go, there he is. Listen, we're going to hear the cry of the Lord. He's going to be born again into this world. He's going to rule and reign. And by the time we're done, we're going to look at the destructions in Revelation. And I killed the whole first service. I'm afraid for them. I'm afraid I killed him, because all we did was cover Revelation 8. By the time I was done, I thought, oh my goodness. And everything's destroyed. Now, God bless you guys. Have a great day, right? So we're going to look at chapter 8, but then we're going to also look at the restoration when the Lord comes back, so that we have hope. So you guys don't have hope. They're all going to be depressed. Pray for first service. Pray for first service. I feel bad. It's like, I wish I could go back. You know, it's okay, guys. I'm so sorry. And hopefully it wasn't as bad as I think it was. But you guys, I'm not going to make you guys suffer that way. But understand this. Here's what I'm saying. Be watching. I want you to be watching. Have your spiritual glasses on. Be watching for more. If this administration does get in, be watching for more. And I'm not judging the administration either way. I'm saying be watching for more global-minded togetherness, more environmental togetherness. It's exactly what is going to happen, because the earth in the last days, we're going to see people worshiping the environment. And God's going to judge that environment, because it's become a god before the true God of heaven. And that's really what chapter 8 is about in Revelation. Mankind worshiping the environment, putting the environment over God, and God says, not going to happen. I'm going to destroy that. God's destruction program of the environment. Now, again, a couple things I want you to note here. Already I'm seeing a new climate envoy. Maybe you heard this. John Kerry's been appointed the new climate envoy for the new administration. They're going to readmit the Paris Agreement. They're going to work more closely with the World Economic Forum. And again, all these things have prophetic significance. That's why I'm bringing them up. This is the log in the Bible bus as we're driving down the road that I'm talking about. And again, we have to address them as we come to them. But listen to the Paris Climate Agreement. It states this, and I quote, "Each country must determine, plan, and regularly report on the contribution that it undertakes to mitigate global warming." The goal is do something to save the environment and pour piles of money. And of course, as a nation, we're going to do the most because we're the wealthiest nation. Okay? And so this is something that's going to be a thing where the focus is going to shift from so much really the betterment of mankind as much as the betterment of the environment. We're about to rejoin that. We're about to get very heavily involved in that. That's huge in a lot of what's happening, going to happen, the Bible says, in the last days. That's why I said there's a lot to be excited about. It may sound odd at first, but it really is things to be excited about because the Lord's coming back. The World Economic Forum is another one that we're getting heavily involved in. Maybe you've heard about it. You'll hear more about it with the new administration. It's an independent international organization committed to improving the state of the world, okay, by engaging business, political, academic, and I'm reading the actual definition, and other leaders of society to shape global, regional, and industrial agendas. So you're going to see this more global agenda, not America leading the world, but a group of nations leading the world. By the way, might I suggest 10? Because that's what the Bible says will happen. A 10-nation conglomerate will come together to rule the world. The Antichrist will rise up from the midst of that 10, and then he will be the one leading the earth from there. Again, I want to give you just a small taste. Again, remember it said in 2 Thessalonians that God was going to send strong delusion in the last days, right? Because man would believe the lie rather than the truth. That is the word of God. We're going to see what the lie is by God's definition, at least a little bit more of what the lie is, what I think it is, when we get to Romans in a moment. But I wanted you to see this because, again, this whole economic forum is being pushed to the front, somebody being appointed to that position, the whole Paris climate. I want you to see what the global agenda is. Remember, the Antichrist will take total control of the world. He'll control, we won't be here, we'll be gone. But for those that are left after the rapture, he'll control their lives, what they own, what they eat, what they don't eat. He'll control, the focus will be on the environment, doing away with things that pollute the environment. We need to come together as a global community, and we become the saviors of the world rather than Jesus Christ, the true savior of the world. It is Satan's agenda. And they're extremely excited now because they feel that the obstacle, America, because of the elections, is finally out of the way. The world agenda, exactly the opposite of God's agenda. What did God say? God gave us the earth and the resources and said, dominate the earth, said, and use the earth as a resource. Be good stewards, but use it. They're saying, don't use the earth. Do away with gas and oil. Do away with all these things. Now, again, this is just what they're saying. God said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. You know, I've given you all the animals. Enjoy. They're saying, don't eat. Don't eat. Get away. Go back to whatever, vegetables or whatever. The whole bottom line is, look, this is an agenda that is opposite of what God intended and has given, and it's because our change of focus of worshiping the creature rather than the creator. And that's what I want to show you here in Romans chapter 1. Look with me at Romans 1. We're going to start in verse 18. And look what it says. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." He's saying God has revealed himself to everyone, so everyone is without excuse. And even creation, he's going to say, is used to reveal God. Look at this, verse 20. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse," that is mankind, "because although they knew God," that is everybody knows that God really exists in their heart, no matter what they say. The Bible says everyone really knows God exists. God shows it to them. He says, "because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image, an image made like incorruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Now, we talked about the lie and the strong delusion in the last days of the earth believing the lie. He mentions the lie here again in chapter 1. And notice he gives us, I believe, a strong clue as to at least a big portion of what that lie is. He goes on and says, in context, and they worship and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In other words, they put the earth and the environment over God. Does anybody see that happening? That's the lie of the last days. It's saying God's plan doesn't work. I know God said we should eat meat, but don't eat meat. I know God said we should use the earth's resources. Don't use the earth's resources. I know God said that we should be independent and free, but don't be independent and free. Come under the authority of the government and eventually a one world leader that will control even where you live and what you eat and drink and everything, and you'll be happy. Did you notice that? Again, this is the spirit of Antichrist, and the world doesn't see it. You have the privilege of having your eyes open. You recognize it. You know it. And now you not only can be prepared, but you can share with others. The good news is you won't be here when all of this comes to pass. I want you now to turn to Revelation chapter 8 as we get now to the passage we're going to look at and spend most of our time in today other than some encouragement at the end, because I don't want to kill you the way I killed them. Not that God's word kills, but the way that I present it sometimes can. So, what's the setting? Okay, the first six seals have been opened. They're now about to open the seventh seal in heaven as God begins his judgments on the earth after the rapture and dealing with mankind, trying to break mankind and bring repentance. Remember, that's the goal. Repentance, so man can turn to God, and heading into the trumpets, which we'll get into the trumpets next week as we finish up. I'll get into the trumpets actually today, but finish up the trumpets next week, and we'll finish first this last seal here. But remember, heaven has just been shouting. The scene in heaven is like just roars of crowds, tens of thousands, multiple thousands, shouting, praising God, giving glory to the angels, everyone rejoicing, worship, all this big scene. And we come to chapter 8, and right before this seventh seal is opened, there's silence in heaven because of how awesome the judgment is that's about to come. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. I'm going to, just so you get an idea, you ever just sit quiet for a minute? You know how odd, you know, some of you can sit in quiet very well. You do that good. Some of you just hardly talk at all, right? You're like old Duke, right? You know, in Jed Clampett or whatever, just kind of like, old Duke's excited today and he's like sleeping, you know, and whatever. But if you're like me, that's hard. It's very hard. And you're like, it is hard for you to be quiet, Mark, learn to. But either way, it's very hard. This is 30 minutes. Now, why is there 30 minutes in heaven? It's this holy hush, this holy awe that comes upon everyone because they realize the massive judgment of God that's about to come upon the earth. And it's as if no one can even say anything, even God himself, not wanting to judge the earth, not wanting to have to do this, trying everything he could, sending his own son to the earth, and now mankind has so rejected him. God says, I hate to have to do this, but I'm a righteous God, and even as I forgive, I must judge or I wouldn't be righteous, and I'm going to bring that judgment. And for 30 minutes, total silence. Let me give you some total silence. Here we go, right now. Ten seconds. 30 minutes just from the roaring praise of God to everybody standing. It's just this, there's such a reverence now to what's about to take place. How sad, how awesome. But yet the glory of God being revealed, the hope of mankind, the last gasp of God to break mankind, to get him into heaven, to join us that have been taken in the rapture.
The New Testament letter of Revelation is a startling reminder that God's real and that he doesn't play around when it comes to people disobeying his commands, because he wants the very best for them. Ultimately, Revelation touches on Christ's return and what it means for those who are followers of Jesus. If you aren't familiar with this kind of faith and are wondering what it means to become a follower of Jesus, don't hesitate to ask us any questions. You can connect at thewaymedia.net by clicking on the Come to the Table section or give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. We'd be happy to talk with you and pray with you about anything that you've heard or having difficulty understanding. Revelation can be a confusing book to parse through, and we want to be here as a support for your questions and concerns. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come get to know us at Calvary Knoxville. Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the Calvary Knoxville link to get service times and directions at the bottom of the homepage. If these teachings have been helpful for you, or you'd like to hear more from this series in Revelation, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. God will speak to you every time you read His Word. Pastor Mark has more to share about what God is telling us in the book of Revelation, so join us here next time as we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.